The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
These people from the Biden administration would call up our team and like scream at them and curse. And it's like these documents are, it's all kind of out there.
Did you record any of those phone calls?
I don't think we, but I think.
I want to listen.
I mean, there are emails. the emails are published. It's all kind of out there. And they're like, and basically it just got to this point where we were like, no, we're not gonna take down things that are true. That's ridiculous. They wanted us to take down this meme of Leonardo DiCaprio looking at a TV talking about how 10 years from now or something, you know, you're going to see an ad that says, okay, if you took a COVID vaccine, you're eligible for, for this kind of payment, like so, this sort of like class action lawsuit type meme. And they're like, no, you have to take that down. And we just said, no, we're not going to take down humor and satire. We're not going to take down things that are true. And then at some point, it flipped a bit. I mean, Biden, when he gave some statement at some point, I don't know if it was a press conference or to some journalists, where he basically was like, these guys are killing people. And I don't know, then like all these different agencies and branches of government basically just like started investigating and coming after our company. It was brutal.
As we come to the waning days of the Biden administration, where across the globe could you point and say the United States is safer because of what we did here?
Well, I'd start by saying our alliances are stronger than we found them 4 years ago. They're stronger than they've been in decades. NATO is more powerful, purposeful, and bigger. Our alliances in the Asia Pacific are at all-time highs. And our adversaries and competitors are weaker across the board. Russia's weaker, Iran's weaker, China's weaker, and all the while, we kept America out of war. So I think the American people are safer and the country is better off than we were 4 years ago. And we're handing all that off to the next team, as well as having the engines of American power humming, our economy, our technology, our defense industrial base, our supply chains. So the United States is in a stronger, more secure position, and our competitors and adversaries are weaker and under pressure. I think that's the main handoff that we will make to the incoming team.
There are just so many aggravating factors that the judge normally could take into account. And I think that what we see here is not just that we have two systems of justice. Lots of people have talked about how race and class really, really sort of create two very different systems of justice in this country. But there really is a third system just reserved for Donald Trump, and how much the courts have bent over backwards to give him something that no one else would get. And, so Mark, and not just because he of his new role, but because of sort of his wealth and his power, he is being treated differently.
The point that's forgotten here far too often is that Greenland is NATO because Denmark, the Kingdom of Denmark, is one of the founding members of NATO. So all this talk about national security concerns vis-a-vis Greenland, if there was any sort of invasion or incursion into Greenland, the entire alliance would be compelled to respond.
As we did last time, we are ready to respond with tariffs as necessary. You may remember when Donald Trump put tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum, mm-hmm. which did nothing but raise the cost of steel and aluminum for American consumers. We responded by putting tariffs on things like bourbon, Harley-Davidson's, orange juice playing cards.
The Trump effect, it's in full force, that's for sure. The world, you think of 2 Timothy 3, where it talks about in the last days, dangerous times shall come. I mean, all of that still applies, even though we're seeing this dramatic a realignment in so many areas of the world, all across the world. The Trump effect is real. And other nations are out there looking for their own Donald Trump. It's pretty amazing to watch all of this transpire. And hard to believe that we're just now a week away. He still isn't even in office yet, but we're a week away from the inauguration. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live. Well, first, we enjoy you. We thank you for joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. A lot to get to on today's show, including some exciting montages we put together based upon Celtic Throne 2, the world premiere of that show. It played yesterday afternoon at beautiful Armstrong Auditorium before 615 people. They got to see it for the first time. I forget how many we had watching online, but really and truly, people from all over the world watching the online version of that show, and they're gearing up for another production that would be next Sunday afternoon. Last night, the director of the show, Brad McDonald, he also announced that the crew will be traveling at least for a couple of weeks to Israel, the little nation of Israel in the Middle East, to perform something, Celtic Throne 1, Celtic Throne 2. I guess we'll see how that this plays out, but a lot of young people, a lot of performers, very excited about what's coming up for this show. So, if you haven't seen this show, and chances are you haven't because it's brand new, make sure if you're anywhere near Central Oklahoma next Sunday, make sure that you go to CelticThrone.com, or is it .org? I forget. But the Celtic Throne website. And you can secure your tickets for next Sunday afternoon's performance. That would be, I believe, at 2 in the afternoon as well. The beautiful, we'll play a montage later, just some highlights of the show. And we have this beautiful LED monitor, the screen behind the stage production, which just adds so, it's almost like an IMAX theater in many ways. That adds a lot to the scenery, the backdrop. And then, of course, the performance. There's a lot of Irish dance to go with this one as well, but a lot of other things that have been added along the way. Just some powerful, powerful moments from start to finish. We've also got some viewer feedback, as we generally have done with Celtic Throne 1. We've got a couple of minutes of people reacting to yesterday's show as well. So as I say, lots to get to on today's show. But first, a world in upheaval, a world that's realigning. This is from the New York Post. It says, a common thread from California to Great Britain, France, Germany, is that liberal underpinnings have morphed into sloppy socialism, unchecked immigration, cultural clashes and restraints on critical speech. I mean, in so many ways, we're seeing the collapse of these leftist regimes, whether it's at the national level or, like in California right now, the state level. They're being exposed. These leaders, the mayor of Los Angeles, the governor in California, and he can make the rounds if he wants. They can blame Trump all that they... How easy is it, by the way, to blame Orange Hitler for everything, even when he's not in power? Even when he's been attacked through lawfare and everything else? They blame Trump. And they've been in power, in the case of California, for decades. As I covered last week on the show, I mean, it goes back decades. These corrupt administrations, they just had a vote for mayor. What was it? 2 years ago, and they opted for the DEI hire. That's who the celebrities and all of the elites in Southern California voted for. And she's off in Ghana as the city goes up in flames. Play that. This is the MSNBC clip about Mayor Bass and how that she had pledged. She campaigned on the fact that, look, when I get in there, I'm going to care about Los Angeles. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to have all of these overseas junkets. Not because I'm so concerned about Los Angeles. I'm so concerned about the city. Play clip one.
Yeah, this is Mayor Karen Bass. She was in Ghana. She was in West Africa attending the inauguration of the new president there when the fire in the Palisades ignited. And as you mentioned, the Times does a good job of chronicling. She had vowed to not travel overseas. She said she was open about how much she'd missed that. She was a member of the House Foreign Relations Committee, spent a lot of time working on U.S.-Africa relations, spent a lot of time overseas, but did make that pledge, were she to be elected mayor, that she would not travel abroad. And certainly there's a long history of mayors being caught out of place when something does happen. Yeah. She's defended herself, saying that, you know, she was in constant contact while in Africa, while on the plane, on the flying back. But certainly there are real questions here, including some of her initial halting responses when she landed. Since then, though, she has been holding news conference after news conference and saying that she understands how upset Los Angelinos are there. And
she vowed. I played the clip last week. She's confronted at the L.A. airport, LAX. And doesn't say a word. And then we learned this weekend that she made a vow. If you elect me as mayor of Los Angeles, I will not travel abroad. And there she is. And you know the dirty little secret here as well, whether it's Mayor Bass or Governor Newsom, is that they knew in advance the Santa Ana winds were going to whip up into a frenzy. And you've got others, Donald Trump, Orange Hitler, and you've got Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan spelled it out, I think, 8-9 months ago, where he said, you know, people have talked to me and said, as soon as those high winds show up, all it takes is one little spark and the whole city can go up in flames. So here are these corrupt, self-serving administrations that have been exposed, all of these leftist regimes. They've hurt their people. They've hurt their regions. It says here, collectively, this is back to that New York Post piece, collectively, the conservative blowback reveals that the time allotted for an indulgent detour has expired and a new consensus is taking shape, whether entrenched leftists like it or not. There's a new consensus. This is, again, it's spreading. Politically, it's spreading like those wildfires in California. You can thank Donald Trump and the 77 million Americans who elected him for this development. His landslide election was a clear vindication of his first term, but it's turning out to be far more consequential than he could have imagined. To the millions of people around the world who are clamoring for a Trump of their own, he personifies the demand for a government that serves its citizens and not the other way around. People are fed up in so many different nations. They're alarmed by their self-serving governments, by astronomical debt levels, reckless spending. It says, when even Los Angeles Uber Democrats demand the heads of their mayor and governor, I mean, you just heard the MSNBC report there, big fans of left-wingers, and even their reporting in the Los Angeles Times. You've got this here in the New York Post. There's been quite a few celebrities in Southern California that have said, hey, our leaders have failed us. They have failed us. The governor on down to the mayor. All of these prominent Democrats. It says here, when even Los Angeles Uber Democrats demand the heads of their mayor and governor for mismanaging water resources during the devastating wildfires, you know the hunger for change has reached new levels. That's what's so astounding here is it wasn't even a period of drought. California's gotten a decent amount of rain over the past year. It's just total mismanagement. I mean, besides the curses, we talked about that last week. I referred you to the Amos booklet, The Lion Has Roared. Definitely get that. Request this booklet and study. Study what your Bible says about the onset of curses because of our sins. Because of our sins. As I was going through Romans this morning with the epistles class, and just how Paul was stressing there at the start of his book that, you know, I'm an apostle sent
from God. God set him apart. And Paul, I think it's round about verse 16, verse 15 in chapter 1, he's basically, so you can look at some various translations, but he basically says, look, I'm out here promoting obedience. And there's a lot of ministers of Simon Magus who are basically saying, no, grace covers everything. And because of God's grace, we can just continue to live in sin. It's no big deal. In fact, it actually promotes God, because then we see how much grace God has. Paul said, no. Do I say any of this so that the law is void? He said, God forbid. God's laws are righteous and holy and just. He says that in Romans 7, Paul does. That's what God is always trying to promote. The beauty, the holiness, the purity of his law, his government. I was saying in class this morning just how, you know, and you can really make this point with any of the projects that God's work is out there promoting. It's because of God's family government and because of law and order that a lot of different people are able to come together and put together a production like Celtic Throne 2. It's such a wonderful blessing. The fact that there's law, there's order, there's structure. Obedience is expected. Now we all trip up and make mistakes, for sure. But God is promoting obedience. And you know who doesn't promote it? That would be mankind. Mankind promotes sin and lawlessness, rebellion. And our sins have brought so many alarming curses on our nations. You can see why people are clamoring for something new, for something different. For an administration that's there to serve the people. Well, who taught us about true Christian leadership? And how that we're called to be servants. We're called to serve. Jesus taught that. You can read it in Matthew 20. A new government is coming to this earth. God's government is about to be established on this earth. Jesus Christ, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to rule. He's coming back to promote obedience to God's laws. And that'll bring blessings upon blessings. It says, in the early days after his election, this is the New York Post piece, Trump said he got more than 200 congratulatory phone calls from business leaders and politicians from around the world. Not bad for the candidate whose rabid, dishonest opponents declared him the new Hitler and a threat to democracy. Look at all the liars that have since gone quiet. They lied and lied and lied. He's Hitler. He's dangerous. He's a threat to democracy. And then last week, Barack Obama, he's there chuckling away at something Donald Trump says. The Trump effect is real. And the supporters of Donald Trump, I mean, they're reveling in the spread of this effect. They feel vindicated. Well, he does have more common sense solutions or programs, certainly than what we've seen with these left-wing regimes that can't even manage water. They're given one job, as I said last week. Play the clip from that lady, the DEI hire, no doubt. She's making $750,000. And she can't even get the reservoirs full. I mean, the Palisades reservoir was empty. It was empty when the Palisades went up in flames. That's some pretty horrible mismanagement right there. That's man's government. And as I say, Donald Trump or anyone like him can come in and at least say, you know what, let's fill up the reservoirs. The Santa Ana winds are coming. The forecast says it could get up to 80 mile per hour gusts of wind. Nobody was ready. Well, look at, the mayor was in Ghana. She went to the presidential inauguration for somebody in Ghana. And you can be sure she's not going to be at President Trump's inauguration next Monday. No plans for that. Horrible mismanagement. There's going to be some positives to come from this Jeroboam administration. But as I said last week, when we went through The Lion Has Roared, when we talked about the U.S. and Britain and prophecy, I mean, the sins of our people, the sins of our nations, they run deep. And as you look around, you still don't see too much repentance. You certainly don't see it on a national scale. You see the sin just spreading. The Trump effect is spreading, but so is sin. There was an article at Politico about Panama Canal, quoted from Ronald Reagan, and how that Reagan, going back to the late 70s, he campaigned on keeping the Panama Canal. That's something that Jimmy Carter just gave away for nothing. For nothing. And here, as I said last week on the show, suddenly you've got the Panama Canal back in the news. It says here, with Trump now demanding that Panama cede the canal back to the U.S. and threatening to use military force if the Panamanian government refuses his demand, the topic's back in the news. And it's no less strange than it was almost 40 years ago, 40 years ago with Reagan. It says, as was the case then, most Americans today really don't care. A recent YouGov poll found that 36% of voters support Trump's territorial and expansionist aspirations, 36% oppose them, and 29% don't have a point of view either way. So it's pretty evenly split. But as far as the support is concerned, I mean, Americans are alarmed. They see the invasion into America. They see America becoming a third world country. And they're clamoring for something new, something different, a government that actually serves the people. They crave the Trump effect. And when Trump is voted in, even during the interim period, when he's just the president-elect, you see people super excited. The confirmation hearings, I guess that's due to kick off this week. And you look at, to use what Hillary Clinton said years ago, I mean, the team that Donald Trump has put together, they're like a basket of deplorables. They've been rejected. You know, people make a big point about how, well, they're just Trump loyalists. Actually, if you go down the list, former Democrats, I mean, RFK was wanting to run against Trump. Rubio did. This cast of characters, it's a very different administration. And it is the ripple effect of so many of these policies, these decisions, these potential leaders. You can feel it around the world. This story, I didn't have time to get to it last week. It was from the New York Times. Elon Musk is trying to break Germany's quarantine on the far-right AfD. He's a big fan. He's a big fan of the AfD. And for the longest time, I mean, they've been essentially blotted out. They haven't been given much of a voice. They're not taken very seriously by the German media. It says Musk is not just dabbling in German politics. He's attempting to break a political blockade that has kept the nation's most prominent far-right party out of government, even as it has gained strength with voters. It's gaining in popularity, but it hasn't gotten the prominence that it's been seeking because forces aligned against it are strong. Is that beginning to break? Musk, it says, will be the host of a live interview on Thursday with Alice Weidel, who is the chancellor candidate for that party, the Alternative for Germany, known as the AFD, in the country's snap elections scheduled for February 23. The event on X, the social media platform that Mr. Musk owns, has raised alarms and threats of legal consequences among Germany's political class. People are alarmed. What is happening? These are political earthquakes we're witnessing. What a change. Overnight, dramatic, miraculous. For the longest time, they tried to destroy Donald Trump. They tried to murder Donald Trump. And now you look at some of the headlines. Jack Smith, he goes away quietly. Resigned over the weekend. This is from Politico. It says, Special Counsel Jack Smith has completed his work on two criminal investigations of President Trump and resigned Friday from the Justice Department. Word of Smith's departure came in a footnote to a court filing Justice Department officials submitted. So yeah, I mean, he was a hero. He was a celebrity. He was a regular topic on Morning Meltdown. And now he's relegated to a footnote in a court briefing. Yeah, I think I'll go away quietly. No more raids on Mar-a-Lago. No more sham investigations. No more lawfare. Trump's saying that he needs to be indicted for all of his criminal activity. We'll see if that happens. We'll see what happens when Kash Patel gets in there. This City Journal piece, I already kind of paraphrased it, just all the misfits that Donald Trump has brought together. RFK, Rubio, Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth, the Fox commentator. Quite a collection. They're not, for the most part, they're not career politicians. And it seems as though they're fairly loyal, or will be, to Donald Trump. The Trump effect is real. Jack Smith, he becomes a footnote. Yeah, I think this might have been this morning, actually. Chuck Todd, he's leaving NBC. I've made this point last week. So many of the, even the prominent voices on the television networks going away quietly. We had a clip here of Don Lemon on his podcast. He's just cursing right and left, and it's pathetic. I mean, but he used to be one of CNN's main guys. Same with Chuck Todd. I think he was over Meet the Press for 9 years. And now he's moving on. This one here, coming back to the Trump effect. It says in the New York Post, Israel and Hamas reached a significant breakthrough in ceasefire talks early Monday in a deal hoped to finally end more than 15 months of war and bring home the remaining hostages. Well, well, well. Trump's due to be back in just 7 days, and Hamas finally comes to the negotiating table. How about that? You know what Trump's been saying. He's been saying if those hostages aren't returned, there's going to be some explosions in the Middle East. And now here comes Hamas. You know what? Maybe we're ready to strike a deal. I mean, it's been going on. Those hostilities, that war since October 7. What, 15 months now? 15 months. And here comes Hamas. This is from The Telegraph, moves that China's making. China's reportedly constructing a D-Day-style D-Day-style barges, which could be used in an invasion of Taiwan. So the hostilities around the world continue. Those old animosities, they don't die. Just because the Trump effect is real, I mean, in a lot of ways. Just what he said about Greenland, we made this point last week. You saw in the cold open there, the guy talking about Denmark and how if there's an advance on Greenland, it's an advance on NATO. That's complicated because the U.S. is part of NATO. Trump, for all of his faults. I mean, he's shaking things up for sure. Some of it's good, and as we know from Bible prophecy, some of it won't end well. This is from, or rather our book, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. The development of this empire to come out of the heart of Europe, those developments are accelerating in large part because of what we're seeing following this, following the miracle victory. God really has been trying to put our focus on him, our focus on his miraculous involvement in our lives, our nations even. So many earth-shaking developments. But here's China. They're building barges, maybe preparing for their move on Taiwan. There's so much to keep our eyes on, and happy for you. I mean, we've got the Trumpet World that plays every Wednesday and Friday, and of course this show is on every weekday morning at 11:05 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States, and then of course you've got my father's Key of David program as well. You can learn about all of these programs, all of our literature, and the fact that we offer it without cost or obligation. Just go to our website, thetrumpet.com. When we come back, we'll play some excerpts from the show yesterday afternoon, Celtic Throne number 2, the second production. Another one. Those of you that love the first one, you will love number 2 as well. Together with that, we've got some feedback from some of those that saw the show yesterday as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Prosperity, government, trade, technology, stability, freedom. The last 2 centuries have been the exception in human history. How did we get here? The 19th century was dominated by an empire that exported civility, order, standards, and opened the doors for global trade. It ended slavery and implemented a system of governance that protected people's rights. And then in the 20th century, a new power came to dominate. Remarkably, one that would continue in the same traditions as its predecessor. For 200 years, the United States and Britain dominated the world stage. How did these two nations rise to prominence so suddenly? And why are their legacies so relentlessly attacked today? The astonishing truth is that your Bible prophesied the rise of Britain and the United States. It also prophesied their fall. The biblical identity of these two nations is the vital key that unlocks Bible prophecy. This lost master key to prophecy is revealed in Herbert W. Armstrong's most requested book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. You must understand the biblical identities of these two nations to comprehend where we are in Bible prophecy today. To learn more about this vital truth, request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
think I saw my mother-in-law shoot up there in the front row. She's one of the biggest fans, for sure. A great production, though. If you have the opportunity, even if you watch it online, you'll enjoy it. That's also made possible at CelticThrone.com. So just go to the website, CelticThrone.com. I see, just in looking at the seating arrangement, that quite a few tickets have sold just since yesterday. I think a lot of people that went from here in central Oklahoma wanted to get some tickets for friends and family so that they could see it hopefully next weekend. So that's next Sunday. Let's see, what are we? January 19th, 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Just go to CelticThrone.com and you can get all the information you need to possibly view Celtic Throne number 2. And it was brought out last night, just like we emphasized in Celtic Throne 1, the importance of it being a family production and how that there's a lot of, you know, backstage support from mothers and fathers, even whether it's on the sound system or with the stage lighting and special effects or the costumes, the brilliant costumes. Lots of moms are involved in that. And as I was saying in class this morning, I mean, you can see why God blesses it as much as he does. When he sees everyone banding together, working together, working as a team, I mean, think about the fruit, the productive fruit that can come from that. There's a valuable lesson in that. Just the fact that, I mean, even from the very beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. I mean, lead. Have dominion over this earth and really get out there and produce. God wasn't just talking about, you know, the physical family growing in numbers. I mean, that too. But he was talking about fruitful, productive living. And he said, now go and, you know, spread that. God is a family. God's reproducing himself through family. And everything in our society today, this is Satan's world, keep in mind. But it's all meant to undermine family. There's a conspiracy against fatherhood, as one of our booklets brings out. There's an absence of the father's role. Isaiah 3 brings that out. This is from The Atlantic. I had this in the news stack for a couple weeks as well. The antisocial century. It says in 2023, 74% of all restaurant traffic came from off-premises customers, that is, from takeout and delivery, up from 61% before COVID, according to the National Restaurant Association. People just aren't going out more or anymore. The flip side of less dining out is more eating alone. The share of U.S. adults having dinner or drinks with friends on any given night has declined by more than 30% in the past 20 years. Guess what we did after the show last night? We had a big dinner gathering in our dining hall on the college campus here. A wonderful follow-on. Does everyone watch the video? You saw part of it right there. They watched the video. They cheered. A lot of the people working to put that production together, they're working, you know, backstage, and they don't even get to see the production, not like the patrons anyway. So so many of them were watching it for the first time themselves, and it was a great social occasion. Eating, drinking, fellowshipping with one another. This article says there's an isolationist dynamic that's taking place in the restaurant business. The Washington, D.C. restaurant tour, Steve Salas told me, I think people feel uncomfortable in the world today. They've decided that their home is their sanctuary. It's not easy to get them to leave.
even when Americans eat at restaurants. They are much more likely to do so by themselves. I mean, look, I'm not saying I've never done that. But still, look at how many instances there are of Jesus with the disciple. Of course, there's times when Jesus went without meals as well. And the disciples were off looking for food because they were getting hungry. But look at how many of those just stunning miracles actually revolved around producing food for a large gathering of people. They were socializing. They wanted to hear Jesus Christ speak. They wanted to watch him behave. There's so much in the Bible about just setting a right example. How do you do this if everybody's a loner? If everybody's, you know, locked inside the basement, so to speak. Jesus said, "You're the light of this world, you disciples, you true Christians." In a city that's lit up, a city on a hill, it can't be hid. The world we see today, I mean, it is so shockingly different than the world described in your Bible, the world tomorrow, that is. Just even the way cities and everything's going to be set up. Children are going to be playing in the streets. That's in your Bible. That's very different from our world today. The anti-social world of today. It says here, the number one reason, well, let me just back up. According to data gathered by the online reservations platform OpenTable, solo dining has increased by 29% in just the past 2 years. So, I mean, it's a pretty dramatic development and recent. It says the number one reason is the need for more me time. I need time for me. I need solo dining. I need to get away. I need to be by myself. Well, there's a time for that, as I was emphasizing with the students last semester, particularly when you need to get away to your eremos, to use the Greek word, and commune with God and have established contact with God. But more and more people are withdrawing, maybe just with their devices, but not more and more, not with other people. It says, today the typical American adult buys about 3 movie tickets a year and watches almost 19 hours of television, the equivalent of roughly 8 movies on a weekly basis, just consumed by media. It says here, in entertainment, as in dining, modernity has transformed a ritual of togetherness into an experience of homebound reclusion and even solitude. Again, solitude has its place, particularly with respect to prayer and meditation. But outside of that, I mean, God expects us to be very social, to spend time with other people, to be people. That's what a true Christian leader is. There's so much in the Bible about fellowship. I mean, look at Malachi 3, for example. The Philadelphians, they fellowship often one with another. I mean, that's how you know that they're a true Philadelphian. They just love fellowship. They love spending time with God's family. This article concludes saying the privatization of American leisure is one part of a much bigger story. Americans are spending less time with other people than in any other period for which we have trustworthy data going back to 1965. Less time with people than in any other period in our history. It says, between that year and the end of the 20th century, in-person socializing slowly declined. From 2003 to 2023, it plunged by more than 20%. So it's especially bad this century. The anti-social century. I think, you know, that's a lot of the reason why people go into Celtic Throne, just enjoy the experience so much, because they see all the connections. They see, well, on the stage last night, you had the clan, all the clans. This family over here, this family over here, this family over here. Mr. Armstrong used to say that nations are just families grown large. But what has happened to our family? What's happened to our clan? Why so much antisocial behavior? Well, for a lot of people, it's just dangerous. They're living in these big urban jungles, and they don't want to go outside. They're afraid to. They're certainly not going to send their kids out there. A different world is coming. The antisocial century is about to be replaced with the social millennium, the pro-family millennium that's described. I don't have it up here with me, but Herbert Armstrong's wonderful, encouraging, positive book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow. What will it be like, or what it will be like? There's a vivid description in that book. If you don't have a copy, make sure you call our operators today and request your free copy. 1-866-930-3024. As I say, I think a lot of the reason that so many people react so positively to Celtic Throne is because they see happy family living on display. Sorry. Here's a little bit of the feedback that we collected from yesterday's performance, clip 11.
You know, it's hard to say what I'm feeling because I am speechless.
It's been amazing. It's just super talented and a lot to see and absorb and kind of just really emotional, and I loved it.
It's been amazing so far, and we're only halfway through. They're constantly outdoing themselves, and they've definitely outdone themselves this time as well.
It is really, I hate to be a broken record, but it is more awesome than the last show.
It is amazing.
It's very, very exciting. It's powerful. It's the first one again, and I'm sure it's going to be great on tour.
We want to see it as many times as we can.
Best yet. Best yet.
I thought the first one was really good, but this one, like, topped it 1,000%.
It was fantastic. We loved it.
You know, obviously, expectations from Celtic Throne 1, but that just blew it out of the park. I mean, that was just absolutely incredible.
I thought the show was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen, and I've seen many, many shows. It was great.
It was really good. Really, really good.
I'm just so proud of the Armstrong Theater, the college, and Oklahoma. It was amazing.
We love the show. There's so much enthusiasm, and it never stops. It just keeps going.
A lot of energy. Really enjoyed the fight scenes.
The folk singing was really good. Yeah. I like that.
Lots of backflips going on, stuff I couldn't do, so pretty cool.
I think it was even better than the first one.
Wow, it was really amazing. Better than I thought, better than I expected.
Oh, I thought it was excellent. Yeah.
It was very emotional, very energized, and loved it, and can't wait to see it again. Yep. Great job.
What'd you think of the show?
Good.
Do you have a favorite part?
The fight.
Absolutely amazing. One of the greatest performances I've ever seen.
Oh, it was inspiring. It gave me goosebumps. And it was just amazing. It was great.
Totally different show from Celtic Throne 1, but very, very inspiring.
That is ridiculously good. That's on par with, you find that anywhere in the world.
The war scenes were like, it's so intense that our adrenaline was pumping as we were watching it.
I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
There you go. Some feedback that came in. Rapid reaction. This is from one of our supporters down in Australia. It says, we're only halfway through. This was from last night. Halfway through the premiere of CT2, but just had to email you and say, wow, 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 all caps, 3 exclamation points. The comments on the costuming, how incredible it looks on these young people. They're just amazing, it says. One of her daughters is in awe and loving it all, amazed at what the lead female, Ellie, is doing in the hard shoe and so on. Please tell your father, that we are so grateful for the live streaming opportunities, that we haven't missed a single event to date. So that's an avid supporter from in Australia who watched the live stream last night. As I say, you can find out everything you need to know about the live stream or tickets for the next show, January 19th, at CelticThrone.com. Another one here says, "You know I can't watch Celtic Throne and not make a comment. What can I say? Outstanding, magnificent, grand. I was wondering what this new one would be like. I know I heard that it was to be better than the first one, and I wondered how was that going to happen since I couldn't see how you could top the first one. But wow, was I wrong. So wrong. I was so amazed. I sat there mesmerized by the entire show. Words don't come to me to tell you how amazing it was. I wanted to be there in person. Now I wish that I had come. But I will, sometime in the future, hopefully." It says, "Please let all the people involved in this production and all the dancers know that their hard work has really paid off." And they have put in a lot of time. It's really been a two and a half year labor of love. I know they were more intensely involved in it over the past semester, I guess, since last summer. And it came together pretty dramatically and miraculously in the last few weeks. Going back to the idea for it, going back to the story, going back to, you know, getting the music created, and the creator of the music, by the way, Brian Byrne, he was able to see the show last night on video or on the live stream as well. He was super impressed with just all the, like these two bring out, the work that went into this. So if you want to see a great production, a great family production, make sure that you go to CelticThrone.com for more information. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.